You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Good morning. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's February 15th, and of course, we're covering Labor, the League of Alternative Baseball Reality, and 15 of the finest experts in the industry participated in that draft, and we're covering that. And we've got on Twitter, is it cool to go out there and brag about winning a draft on Twitter? Now, when you win a draft, I just want to clarify, the season hasn't been played, spring training hasn't even started, and for you to win a draft, is that okay? Is this something you can go and do? You can go and vote at FNTSY Radio. Right now, one of the things that we've got going on this fine, illustrious station and is Twitter, and we got people voting, and it's been a big year for voting. That's one of the things in the world, right? We all wanted to get out there and vote. Well, this voting is 62% of the people right now say no, it's not a good idea to brag on Twitter that you won the fantasy draft. 38% say yes. Scott, are you surprised by the polling results thus far?
No. I think most people would probably agree that, you know, it's... But then again, you got your trash talkers, you know, who might want to do that.
Yeah, a fantasy exec, how do you feel about it? Speaking of for trash talkers, fantasy exec, you're known as one of the better ones in the industry.
Yeah, and I've done things like this in the past and prior, talk about how I dominated the draft. Don't get me wrong, I do always believe I dominate drafts, but you know, a lot of times it's all in fun. You know what I mean? You can't win a draft. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. You've never used the bar graph or Rick Wolf to prove your point?
No. Never did that. I never was like, oh, Dr. Roto agrees with me. You know what I'm saying? Never mind. I'll say that question for another show.
You really want to say it?
Say that question. Not because this Alex Reyes thing happened, right, with Tommy John, and I was curious. I was like last night. I was thinking about Tommy John surgery,
right?
And I was like, I wanted some more information on Tommy John surgery,
right?
And I was thinking to myself, oh, well, we probably can get Dr. A to talk about Tommy John surgery. And I thought to myself, well, we probably could get Dr. Roto to talk about Tommy John. You think Dr. Roto's ever performed the Tommy John surgery?
maybe in a video game. I don't think they have that option though.
Cause see, my thing, Tony, was. With the kid, right? When you get Tommy John now, has it been enough advances in medicine to where, you know, can we expect to see him spring training 2018? Do we expect to see him All-Star break 2018? Or could we see him in October?
Okay, so for everybody out there, according to Jim Bowden of ESPN.com, Alex Reyes has a partial tear of his ulnar collateral ligament in his elbow. He's going to get a second opinion because he's had previous injuries in 2013 with a strain in his elbow. He got the platelet-rich plasma injection, which is the new fad that people are doing. I think that it would be a 50-50 shot that he would be ready opening day, but probably going to be the middle of the season. And then usually when you see these pitches the first year back, they're a little wild. They don't have the same control as they once had prior then. So it's like a year of pitching through it. But we're talking about a 22-year-old kid. So if anything, Scott, you would think that he's better off going to get this thing done as quick as possible and get this thing over with.
Yeah, like you mentioned the plasma injection in 2013, so maybe the Cardinals were aware that always this was the danger here, but, you know, he's a young guy, you know, his body's going to heal differently than, you know, say if he was 30 years old, obviously. But I think every player is different in how their bodies recover from it. So while you have a general timeline, you never know for sure. When something like this happens, I just rule him out in my mind for the season and then just worry about him next year.
Worry about it next year. And, of course, Serge Ibaka dealt yesterday in a deal, sent him to the Toronto Raptors. I outlined in the first hour that this looks like a better deal on paper, and I think it's a good deal from a basketball perspective because – They didn't give up much to get Ibaka. Terrence Ross, a pretty good shooter and a first-round pick that's going to be late in the draft. But Ibaka needs to go back to his old game, where in 2011 he had 3.7 blocks per game. Then in 2012, 3 blocks per game. Then it went down to 2.7, 2.4, 1.9, 1.6. You're seeing a trend here, which just keeps dropping, and the three-point shots keep going up. He's got the field goal percentage keeps falling. It's 48% back in 2011, 2012, 53%, 57%. He's not the same player he once was. He needs to get back in that. How do you do that, Scott Angle? Can teams say, hey, you know what, Serge, it's been a good couple of years, but we really need to go outside and bang it up with the people. You think players are willing to do that?
I think it may be dependent on the player, Tony.
What about Serge?
I don't know. It's but I guess if you go into Toronto, it's you know, I think they want to build the fan base as much as they can. It's not like playing in New York.
Oh, they do sell a lot. They do sell a lot of tickets there. I got to ask you, a fantasy exec, how would you feel like if you know, back in the day when you were a young executive producer and you were you know, you were getting it done. And then all of a sudden, you know, you were like the producer that came in at 6:05, and people wanted you to come in at 5:30 instead of 6:05.
Yeah,
how'd you feel about that?
By that point, it was too late. Do you feel what I'm saying? By that point, it was too late.
So you think it's too late for Serge Ibaka?
Well, Serge Ibaka is making good money, so that's the first difference right there. So it makes it a little bit harder to equate to the situation. But if you know, in a new environment, Serge goes to a new environment. You talking about in the new environment, Tone, or in the old environment?
Well, he's coming to a new environment, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got to get back to what he did 4 or 5 years ago to be effective in what they expect of him.
Yeah.
Can you just go back and do that? Like, can you?
Or, I think so.
You know what? I like shooting three-pointers. I like not banging against seven-footers all day long. I mean, can you get back to where you once were?
Yeah, I think you definitely can do that. See, I think when you bring him in and you sit him down, you get him with the coaching staff, and you're like, listen, we're trying to make a deep run. We feel as if Cleveland is in a position right now where they can't be had, and we could possibly push this thing all the way to the NBA Finals. In order for us to do this, we need you to be a rim protector. We need you to be a rebounder. We got Kevin Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. They're going to shoot the basketball. That's their job. Their usage rate is insane. We need you for defense and rebound. And if you want to win a championship, if you want to play deep into the playoffs and get extra playoff money and stuff like that and be a star in Toronto, then you come in here and you do your job. And you get this done, and we guarantee you that we'll take care of you. You know what I'm saying?
I understand Tony's point, though, Corey, though. Like, entertain this, okay? Say we traded you to the NFL Network for Michael Fabiano, right?
That'd be an upgrade for the NFL Network.
Then they asked you that, you know, we don't want you to be an on-air talent. We want you to be a producer.
Oh, no. The fans, those days are done.
But you get to be with the NFL Network, though.
I don't know.
You talk about winning a championship. You get to be with the NFL Network. You big television station, you know, stuff like that. Eventually, which we will be.
I'd stay right here.
Yeah, you'd rather stay right here and play. So you could.
I'm not Florio.
Go back to going a different role.
Yeah, I'm not Florio. I'm not going to be negotiating while I'm on the clock. I'm not Sealy tweeting at SiriusXM Fantasy. You know what I mean? I'm here for the long haul.
Okay.
Unless I get traded.
No, I'm saying if you got traded, it was beyond your control.
If I got traded beyond my control, but I'm like, why are you trading me? Like, that's almost like I'm a player to be named later if I'm not. No,
we're trading you for Michael Fabiano. It's significant.
Yeah, but that.
But they ask you to play a different role over there.
Oh,
you know, would you be comfortable with going back to the producing role and say, well, we can't put you on air.
Well, if you traded me, then I really would have no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck.
But you do what you would have to do.
I would figure it out. Right. Figure it out.
Okay, he's going to figure it out.
So that's
Mike, pull the trigger on that, please.
Serge Ibaka
in a similar situation right there. And also, yesterday was reported, which is surprising to me, that the Denver Broncos want to talk to Victor Cruz about possibility of coming in being the third receiver. Mm. I thought Victor was done. I thought it was more like Barbaro than a competent wide receiver.
Oh, boy.
Is there any legs here, fantasy executive, to Victor Cruz? And do you think he'll be with the team this season?
I think about Victor Cruz, I think about him in the back of the end zone in Philadelphia grabbing that knee, and I think that's the last we see of Victor Cruz, the salsa dance, as we know. The issue is, I don't think Victor Cruz is ever really fully going to be healthy enough again to contribute. What's our buddy that we used to bring on when we were on the mothership, Dr. David Geyer?
Yeah.
He said through all the research and injury he's done, that's by the piece, the PCL?
Yeah.
Is by far the worst injury in sports. 8 out of 10 guys do not return to form. Jimmy Graham seems to be one of the lucky ones that did return to form. Yeah. But Victor Cruz is not Jimmy Graham. I mean, you got to think, Cruz was a guy that was UMass.
They made some advancements in the procedure, though, between the picture I got between when Cruz got it and when Graham got it, though.
Jimmy Graham, world-class athlete, though. Victor Cruz, UMass, undrafted free agent. You know what I'm saying?
He's practice in the NFL, though. He's still a world-class athlete.
But look at the process. He didn't have...
Everybody's body responds differently,
though.
Yeah,
but Scott, he don't have the talent and the skill set of Jimmy Graham. You feel what I'm saying?
But he's still a professional athlete.
He worked on it. Jimmy Graham kind of was blessed with it. You feel what I mean?
Yeah. I guess I know what you mean.
Also, news came out that the Cardinals believe John Brown will be healthy for next season. John Brown, Michael Floyd no longer in the picture, we believe. John Brown, be interested to see where he goes in drafts next season, Corey. He's a guy with big playability, durability issues, quarterback issues. Not sure about John Brown.
Yeah, I'm not either. I want to see. I can't commit to anything right now with that team. I want to see what the quarterback situation looks like first and foremost. I'm probably not, even if I mean, they can bring Tom Brady in there, and I'm probably not going to be in on John Brown. I think it's just too many guys similar to him that I'll probably take a better shot at. I'll even take a young upside pick on a young rookie, like the kid that's going to be coming into the league from Clemson, somebody like that. John Brown will likely get drafted in around the same area as him. I would take him if he's in the right situation. To me, it's always going to be somebody better on the board than John Brown.
Your thoughts on John Brown? Corey doesn't seem impressed about John Brown. How about you, Mr. Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package Pioneer, the King, Scott Engel?
I would say, Brown is inconsistent. He's more of a daily play to me than anything, if the matchup is right. He's too boom or bust. He's somebody more for my bench.
For your bench. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to go to the bench. You don't want to go to the bar. You don't want to go and get a donut, especially a cruller, because when you stop at a red light and you have a cruller in your mouth, people just look at you and they can't stop staring. And if you're a guy that doesn't like attention, the cruller is not the way to go. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you need to be here, because we're going to do something good for you, something pleasant for you, something that you're going to love, because everybody loves to win. Our president's all about winning. You can be about winning. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning, and it's all about winning. Not winning drafts of leagues that haven't already played, but winning prizes in giveaways, in knowledge, in power. It's all here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Right now, if you purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package, you take a screen print of the receipt that you purchased it and you tweet to FNTSY Radio, you will get a Modell's gift card. Modell's, the shopping choice of the King, Scott Engel. You could look like the king. You could be the king with a Modell's gift card, Scotty.
Yeah, it's something I definitely endorse. I don't like endorsing things I don't actually use. If you purchase the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package this morning, like Tony said, tweet us at FNTSY Radio with a screen grab. If you're one of the first to do that, we will give away a Modell's gift card. And you can go over there and get a satin starter jacket like I just got.
Now, what would be your choice of gift that you would go over there and get a fantasy executive if you were able to purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package? Take a little screen grab, fire that on Twitter to FNTSY Radio. And then you say, man, I got a Modell's gift card just from enhancing my fantasy baseball knowledge. This is win-win. What would you purchase?
They have the, you know, they got a Modell's right across the street. So it's a couple of pieces right now that I'm looking at. First, they got the WBC hats, the USA. In Modell's, they have the USA hat. They got the Dominican Republic hat. And they got the Puerto Rico hat for WBC. And then they got the Warriors alternate, the black warm-up jacket, are some of the items that I would be looking at with the Modell's gift card. Now, if you don't have a Modell's in your neighborhood, you can also go to Modell's.com. So no matter where you live at, you purchase the package, send us a screen grab, we'll get you the gift card, and boom, there you go, right there. You can have you can have a WBC hat. You can represent the United States. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was over there yesterday, the Victor Cruz job. Jerseys for $20 now.
Oh,
that's not nice.
But you know, I'm actually wearing something I got at Modell's today in studio. I got this authentic. You know, my wife got this for me for Christmas. This authentic Seahawks hooded sweatshirt.
Yep.
You know, I think one of the things you could do with that Victor Cruz jersey though for $20, if you're a Giants fan. It's always good. Like, I like when your woman wants to wear something to bed at night, you buy one of those football jerseys. It's kind of sexy to think that you're making love to Victor Cruz fantasy.
And then it's, you know, those things have, like, the jerseys, the looser material, so it has easy access. But I tell you what what I like right now is, like, my favorite piece of negligee is the onesie, right? Yeah. They have the female onesie, the form-fitting onesie, right? And, like, the back of it has, like, the little drop-down hatch. You feel what I'm saying? Right. That's everything. Yeah. That is everything,
so
Scott.
So when do you wear that?
Look at the king's on the roll today, huh, Tony?
He's loose. He's very jovial today. That's one of the things that you go. So right now, you guys can get that gift card. You can make your own decision on what you're going to purchase. Make sure you buy the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package at rotoexperts.com. Use the code word free radio. Take a screen grab and tweet to FNTSY radio, and you get a Modell's gift card. As Corey said, even if you don't live in New York, you go online, get that thing delivered to your house, and absolutely bang it away. That's the way to go. We're talking about the labor draft today, and we're looking at round two of our league of alternative baseball reality, which makes it sound like a lot more important than it actually is, but hey. Great name. What can you say about it? Round two went like this. Charlie Blackman was the first pick in round two, followed by Jonathan Villar, Corey Seager, Madison Bumgarner, Corey Kluber, back-to-back pitchers, Joey Votto, Starling Marte, Francisco Lindor, Xander Bogart, Robinson Cano, Buster Posey, Freddie Freeman, Edwin Encarnacion, Giancarlo Stanton, and Noah Syndergaard round out round number two. When you look at this fantasy executive, what is the one pick that you most relate to that you could see yourself making that selection?
Now, if we go off of how I started the team with Jose Altuve, obviously, in the second round, what I would like to come back to do is get a little bit of power. And I'm also, you know, I already have one of the middle infield slots locked up in second base. I want to start attacking some other positions. Now, I'm not playing for position scarcity, but I do want to get the best power option at the best position, and I think that's my guy out there in Atlanta, Freddie Freeman. I think Freeman would be my pick in this round. I think the batting average would be around 300, if not over 300. We'll get 30 bombs this year, not to mention the RBI should be close to 100 to run scores. The whole thing, he's giving you everything but stolen bases, hitting in that lineup with the protection from Matt Kemp. I think the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Braves, Freddie Freeman is a player that I'm in on this year. Be 27 years old. That tends to be the year that we really see the prime age for baseball players. So give me Freddie Freeman in the second. I'm going to pop this in my app and see what my numbers are looking like.
There he goes. He's got his $7 app out there. He's ready and raring to go. He's got a little Freddie Freeman. Scotty, which pick are you most relatable to?
I'd probably say Noah Syndergaard. You know, I was talking about with the Scherzer pick to Zinke in the first round. You can wait. Syndergaard went all the way at the end of the second round. You know, at that point, like you're wondering if he's going to slip to you, but to get him at the end of the second round and to pair him with Mike Trout, you know, the way Alan Harrison did, I think was just tremendous. You know, you're talking maybe a top four fantasy pitcher this year.
That is the way to go about it. I agree with you. I think he could be a top four, top five at the worst. So Syndergaard's a guy there. When you look at it, Mike Florio, who is the one guy that you look and you can relate to?
I like Joey Votto a lot. I feel like he's in the same tier as Miggy and Anthony Rizzo, but you got him at a little bit of a discount. Instead of having to use your first-round pick, he went in the middle of round two. He'll give you a handful of stolen bases, good average, you know, lots of home runs. And I mean, even last year, though, with the Reds lineup being down, he still drove in a lot of runs. So I like Joey Votto.
Joey Votto is the guy for Mike Florio. When I look at this round, the guy that I'm looking at the picking here is Corey Kluber. When you look at Kluber, much like a lot of the pitchers here, consistency, predictability, those are the words that we talk about when we want to take someone early in a draft. And if you look at Corey Kluber, this is a guy that throws the ball hard, strikes a lot of people, and he is actually the number one pitcher in the American League the last three seasons. If you go back, in FIP at 2.84, he's the fourth best in all of Major League Baseball in strikeout percentage and innings pitched over the last three seasons, and he's only 25 years of age. I mean, this is a guy that I love this season, Corey Kluber. So that is round two of the labor draft, breaking it down and trying to knock out of the park and make everybody successful as fantasy baseball drafts are right around the corner. And when we look at round three, and of course round three, at the end of the round three, it's interesting because I think that's when your team really starts shaping up. Hopefully you have balance at this approach, but if you don't have balance after the first three rounds, then it's going to dictate how you go the rest of your draft. The first pick in round three was Chris Sale. Interesting pick there by Alan Harrison, as he went Noah Syndergaard and Chris Sale back-to-back on the turn. Those two pretty good pitches right there, Scotty. Wait for round two and round three.
Yeah, if you got Chris Sale as your number two, you're doing really good. I really like the way Harrison started out. Trout, Syndergaard, Sale, and then he really bolstered his offense after that with like Gonzalez, Beltre, Santana, Trumbo. I thought he had a really strong start.
The rest of the third round, Trevor Story with the second pick in the third round, then Nelson Cruz, Daniel Murphy, George Springer, Ryan Braun, Gregory Polanco, Brian Dozier, A.J. Pollock, David Price, Andrew McCutchen, J.D. Martinez, Johnny Cueto, Jake Arrieta, and the last pick in the third round, Roughneck Odor. Your thoughts, fan executive? One guy you relate to in this round, you could see yourself making the same pick.
I'm kind of playing this out as if the team I'm drafting right now that I'm putting together is my actual team in this draft, so I'm trying to hit my numbers. I want to go right back and get some more power. I'm going to take the 40 home run bat of Nelson Cruz in this round. People keep saying, well, the drop-off is coming, but I haven't seen it yet. His three-year averages says that he's going to be a 40 home run hitter. He's not going to kill none of your averages or anything like that. So give me Nelson Cruz of another season, a 40 home run pop, 100 RBIs, and about a batting average in the 280s.
The one guy I look at right here is A.J. Pollock. When I look at Pollock coming back after an injury and see him going this early, I think there's a little speculation here. I mean, last year we're talking about a guy that had 12 at-bats. 2015, he had 157 games, 673 at-bats in that one. 20 home runs, 39 stolen bases. Those are huge numbers. So I could see you get to a point that you could take a shot on something like that. But 2014, in just 287 at-bats, he had 7 home runs, 14 stolen bases, .302 batting average. I don't know if I've seen enough at the professional level that I would feel comfortable for him, but to see that 2039, I know that's a carrot out there that's dangling that people want to take a shot on, and you can't let it go by. But I'd be a little concerned about that pick in that round. Not a guy that I see on many of my teams this year. How about Mike Florio? When you look at round three of this labor draft, which is the one pick you would question?
It's close between Story and Odor, but I'll go with Story just because he went, you know, the beginning of the round where Odor went at the end. I would like to say we only saw really half a season of this guy. He had a great start, but I don't think that production is necessarily sustainable. So I have a little bit of questions there. I feel you could have went a safer option early in round three.
Safe is the way to go early in the draft. Predictability is what we like. Are you a guy that picks for upside early in your drafts, a fantasy executive? Or when do you start going for upside?
No, early in the draft, I want consistency. I kind of want to be able to turn around, look at the back of the baseball card, and be like, okay, I know that these are the numbers I'm going to get. When I start to look for upside is when I start to look at a guy, when I start to see the guys like Matt Harvey come up on the board, when I'm like, okay, this is a seasoned veteran that people are going for the name. When you get in these drafts, a lot of these times you start to see names in these drafts that, okay, well, his name is Matt Harvey. We know he's done it before. These are the Zach Greinke. Maybe those type of guys is when I would try to start looking for some upside. So maybe in those, maybe in that 12 to 15 range, a little bit after that is when I'm going to start looking. You see, like, okay, well, a guy like a Dexter Fowler is on the board. Well, you know what? Maybe let me take an upside guy like a what's the kid in Minnesota?
Oh,
Berrios?
No, outfielder, Buxton.
Yeah, Buxton.
Oh, Buxton.
Yeah, maybe a guy like that. Maybe a guy like Broxton. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere in that range is what I try to start doing my upside guys.
Gotta like the upside. Gotta like it right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We have plenty of upside. And we got a Modell's gift card for anybody out there that buys the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package first and gets a screen grab of that purchase, sends it to FNTSY Radio, and all of a sudden you're shopping at Modell's, and all of a sudden you're going to get maybe that first pick you draft in your fantasy baseball
draft. That's a good
idea. Yep. You can go there and get a jersey, and you can represent with your jersey out there, and go ahead and make that happen right now. FNTSY Radio, and make that happen. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel. Scott Engel is a guy that's featured in the Roto Experts package because he's the guy that's been here forever. He's the Hall of Famer, and he's got a bunch of minions that report to him, and they write great articles. So make sure you take a look at the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package. We'll be back.
You don't care what I thought about the third round, though.
No, we're going to get there. We're going to get there, Scott. See, we have time. There are times that are associated with the show that we're supposed to go to break at certain times. We're supposed to promote the package at certain times. So, I got to fall in line, Scott. Yeah. We have rules. I'm a rule adherer.
Are you checking your email, Scott?
Why?
It's the Roto Experts of the Morning. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Tony Cicada. I'm with the King, Scotty Engel, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, and, of course, Mike Florio, the producer. Now, King, Scott Engel, who is the guy in the third round that you question?
That I question? I'd say Daniel Murphy. I mean, I really had a hard time finding a pick I didn't like, but I guess if it's this one, maybe it's more based on last year. The 347 average is, I know he improved his hitting. I spoke to Daniel Murphy about this, last year, and he said working with Kevin Long, in the second half of the 2015 season, he made some adjustments that, like adjusted his launch angle, etc. But, when you look at that 348 BABIP last year, his career mark's like 319. I think you're overpaying a little bit for the average. I think you're paying for 25 homers, and you're not getting any more speed. I probably wouldn't have drafted Daniel Murphy there.
Well, what pick did you like best when you go in round three? Daniel Murphy, I'm surprised that's the one you didn't like because, I thought you were tight with Daniel Murphy.
I like Daniel Murphy, and I think he's a good player. I just don't think I would have taken him in the third round. I would have waited at least a round later. A lot of those were good picks. And so you talk about the first round, there's not a bad pick. It's like if I had to find one, it was there. If there's one I really like, it's being aggressive on Gregory Polanco. The power finally started to come through last year. The speed is there. The frame that he's got, it's going to generate natural power. He started hitting the ball more in the air, more line drives, more fly balls. hit the ball on the ground a lot less. I think this guy is, you know, he's on the way up, and you want a combination of pop and speed. You're talking 20-20 here.
I totally agree with you. This is a guy that had shoulder and neck injuries last year, too, and still put up 17 bombs, 20 stolen bases. I think this guy's in line for a big season. And if you can get him in round three, I think it's a great pick, especially if you went power early, you're lacking a little speed. He's a guy that could give you a little bit of both there. Mike Florio, producer extraordinaire. Mike, who is a guy you liked in round three, and who's a guy you didn't like in round three?
Yeah, I wasn't crazy over the Trevor Story pick, as I said before, because he's just... I feel like you could have got a safer bat early in round three. It seems a little early to gamble. A pick I really like, though, is Johnny Cueto. I feel he kind of goes under the radar, but he is one of the safest pitchers in all of baseball. He's going to give you 200 innings, a good ERA, good whip. He'll get you 180-plus strikeouts. And I just think he gets devalued because he's not one of those, like, the big names or a guy who's going to strike out 200 batters. But everything else, I think he is extremely safe.
See, here's the thing with Trevor Story that I think a lot of people are not aware of or forgot or one thing. Last year when he came in, he hit the 27 home runs, but in the 415 at-bats, he had 8 stolen bases. If you go back in his minor league career... At 2015, at two different levels, he had 22 stolen bases. In 2014, he had 23 stolen bases. 2013, 23 stolen bases. 2012, 15. So there's a chance you can get 25 to 30 home runs and get 20 stolen bases, Scott, with this kid's story. There is considerable risk with 31% strikeout rate. But I think stories people are on or against. But I think the thing with the big upside here is the stolen bases that people are forgetting about.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and of course you don't want to extrapolate, you know, that amount of homers over a full season. You know, but you're still talking, you know, playing in that ballpark, having natural power. It's not a homer park necessarily, but you know, when you play in Coors Field, you're gonna have a nice batting average. Then he's got the natural power. The speed really hasn't come, so. I guess it's, you're talking about why do you take him in the third round? You don't take him in the third round just because of what he showed you last year in the first 2 months. You take him because natural power, home ballpark, and maybe some speed potential, and you take a look at the position and how scarce it can be.
Yeah, it definitely could be scarce there, and Trevor Story is a guy we'll be talking a lot about during this preseason for sure. We're looking at round four now of the Labor Draft, of course. This takes place, is this one online, Scott? This one isn't done in person. Like the AL and NL only are done in person. Is this one's just done online?
Yeah, I believe this one, don't quote me on it, but I believe it's done online.
Yeah, this is the online draft hosted by Steve Gardner in the USA Today. I believe this is maybe the third or fourth year they've done this.
Fourth round went like this. Steven Strasburg, the first pick of round four. That's the earliest I've seen him go. Gary Sanchez was the next pick. Billy Hamilton, Jonathan LaCroix, Will Myers, Ian Desmond, Kyle Seager, Jonas Cespedes, Jose Abreu, Gene Segura, Chris Davis, Christian Yelich, D. Gordon, Yu Darvish, Carlos Gonzalez in round four. Fantasy executive, which pick do you like best there that you can relate to?
Oh, boy, this is where it gets interesting. Round four, I think the pick that would best fit my team in the way it's being built right now, fellas, is I'm going to go with let me see what I got over here. I got Altuve, I got Cruz, I got Freddie Freeman. I think I want to get me another toolsy guy. I mean, I think I like Ian Desmond in round four right here, fellas. So I would take my corner guy in Ian Desmond. So, you know, obviously going to Coors Field, we should see the batting average get a little bit higher this season. The counting numbers are going to be where we want to be. So possible 2020 guy right here in Ian Desmond. I'll take him off the board in the fourth round.
You know what's interesting about this selection of Ian Desmond and in our graph here? Our graph lists Ian Desmond as a first baseman. Ian Desmond will play first base for the Colorado Rockies, but when you start the season, I don't believe he's eligible to play first base. He will move into first base after 5 or 10 games, depending on the league setting you play in. If you play on Yahoo, it's probably allowed right from the get-go. Yeah. Because Ian Desmond last year, when he was playing in Texas, of course, played in the outfield. So I'm interested to see what people have there. Ian Desmond last year in 2016 was in the Rangers outfield for 159 games. So remember that when you draft him, you need another first baseman for the first 5 games or 10 games. It's not a big deal. Whatever you your league settings are, so make sure you check that, Scott, with Ian Desmond. Does that any consequence with that, Scott, where he's listed as an outfielder?
I don't see anything different than what you just explained away, Tony.
So I think right here is especially roster construction is key is key also. This is a team that already has Fred Freeman on it, you know what I mean? So you pop him in the outfield, he gets that eligibility, you know what I mean? Not really drafting stats with this guy, not really drafting position with this guy, drafting stats, you know. I think he's a player that's a good fit on this team, but we will see that eligibility, which is a win-win for fantasy owners.
Scott, what pick do you like in this round?
You know, this was a tough round to scout in terms of what I liked. There's a few picks I liked, like Justin Upton hit 22 home runs after the break, and I talked about it in Benny Ricciardi's ebook that, you know, he got accustomed to the American League over time last year. You should see a better full season. I've talked about how much I like DeGrom as a value, but I think I got to go with Chris Archer as the pick that I like best. The strikeouts were still there. Some people might be thrown off by the 19 losses and the high ERA overall, but if you look, you know, in the second half, he had a 3.25 ERA after the All-Star break, and in the second half, you had 3.38 in July, 3.03 in August, 3.62 in September. You know, you're getting a really nice return there, I think. You know, Chris Archer, you know, can still strike out guys, et cetera. You know, I think I like the Archer the best. He's going to get you more strikeouts than Carlos Martinez. I think this could be a real bounce-back year for him.
Scott, I agree with everything you said, but the problem is he was in round 5. But,
yeah.
So it's even better.
I like it in round four. Yes.
Yes. How you feel about it in round 3, Scott?
I like it in round four. I like Justin Upton. Oh, can I make a mistake?
That's all good,
can
Scott.
I make a mistake, Rodas? Can I make a mistake?
I'm just saying, Scott. I agreed with everything you said.
No, but it was
a round later.
The analysis was excellent. Thank he would have been my pick in the fifth round. Would have been Chris Austria as my SP1.
I like it in the fifth round.
I like him a lot. I like him a lot this year. I think if you look at last year, the ERA and the FIP show some deceptiveness, show some unluck. He actually said that he at spring training he didn't use all his pitches. He was working on a new pitch and he used it exclusively in spring training, and he won't make that mistake this year as well. So I'm big on Chris Archer. I think it's a huge drop off after Chris Archer. It goes from the guys that I consider that have elite stuff to a big drop off to like the Carlos Martinez types after Chris Archer. Mike Florio, round 4, which guy do you like the best? Which one can you relate to?
I like Yu Darvish a lot at the end of round 4. I think this is a guy who could lead the league in strikeouts, and you were able to wait on pitching if you wanted and get him at the end of round 4.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Now, the one guy that I don't, there's a lot of guys I don't like in round 4. I look at Billy Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
That is a one-trick pony. I understand the pick. He picked Miguel Cabrera first, Corey Seager, then a pitcher. So he felt like he was bat down on stolen bases. So he went and he grabbed Billy Hamilton. He took an easy fix there. I don't like. There was another pick in round 4. The D. Gordon pick. You mentioned that earlier in the show. The D. Gordon pick, another one-trick pony picked in the 4th round. I think you panic too early. You don't have to go there. And I don't like Christian Yelich by Ray Murphy, too. Yelich, we saw more power last year, but I need to see a little more. The guy hit still was 4th in the league in ground balls. I don't like the Christian Yelich pick. Scott, who do you not like there?
Yeah, I don't know if I like Gary Sanchez. I mean, you're paying for 2 months of production from a totally unproven guy at the major league level. I realize the power was there at the minor league level, but, you know, I can't take Gary Sanchez there too too early. It's you know, 2 months of production. It's, you know, we've seen players have hot months. You know, the guy hasn't done it over a full year. I'm just not a fan of the pick. I'm not crazy about Gene Segura either. As far as Gordon Hamilton go, though, it's like, what's the flip side of that debate, though? It's like, you know, steals are down across baseball, and if Hamilton, like, you know, he's so slow improvements in his hitting, you know, over the years, you know, he's got even more speed than Gordon.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll address the positives and negatives of taking the two speedsters this early and what it means for your drafts. And then we'll get the fantasy executive pick that he didn't like. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with my guy, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. The Roto Experts extraordinaire, a Hall of Famer, the King Scott Engel, and Mike Florio just trying to fit in right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. You know, it was asked before we went to break, what about Billy Hamilton and what about D. Gordon? And stolen bases are down. This will take care of your problem. And you go there. The problem is when you pick those guys, you have to average 21 home runs apiece from your roster to get there. And you get three home runs with these guys. You get no RBIs at all. So all of a sudden now, to take care of one category, you put two at risk. And that's not even counting the batting average. Like, that's giving you with Billy Hamilton, we're going to say, all right, he'll hit all right this year. So basically you're risking two categories by picking these guys.
Yeah, I was just like trying to look at the flip side of the argument. You know, you get runs scored, you get stolen bases, and with Gordon, you might
well. You don't
might
get runs scored
garbage.
Either. You don't get the runs scored. You're not going to get it either.
Well, you're not going to get a diminished return in runs scored either. I mean, you'll get something respectable.
You will with Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, you know, if Hamilton can hit 260. You know, you're talking about a guy here, yeah, you know, who can go from first to third on a friggin' ground ball. So you never know what the upside is.
The thing about going from first to third on the ground ball, it don't help no categories. You feel what I'm saying?
No, but what I'm saying is that, yeah, you know, if you look into it, but the reason why I made that analogy is, you know, this guy can, you know, can score on other kinds of plays where other players can't. I'm not necessarily saying I would make the pick. But, you know, I think there is a mode of thinking, and we see it from the experts draft, that, you know, there's a narrative right now across you know, expert land that steals are down in fantasy baseball. And these are why these guys are making these picks.
Be honest with you. I mean, I understand expert
league
and all that.
There's so many 20-homer guys.
I don't like this guy's team. I don't like the way he's putting his team together. I don't like his roster construction. I'm trying to figure out what he's doing. So I'm not in on Brett Sayers' draft.
Brett Sayre not getting it done?
In my opinion.
He has little hands, probably like Marco Rubio.
Well, then you got to look at, you know, D. Gordon went to Jake Seeley, and Jake won the draft. So,
well, we know Jake, yeah, know what he's doing.
But I don't like what Jake did in terms of, like, I don't know if I could, you know, looking at the way the draft works out, I couldn't have taken him over you, Darvish. I couldn't have done it.
Well, I mean, but if you look at Jake's team, though, you,
yeah, because then he gets Lester in the fifth. I'd rather have Darvish than Lester.
Well, yep. Jake, but still, he's building a he's building a nice power speed combo, though, Scott, with Betts and Gordon. Not to mention,
I don't
want to
wait till the fifth round for my first
Cruz
pitcher.
Cruz and Encarnacion. His first pitcher is John Lester. You know, I'm looking at Jake really did win this damn draft.
I'd rather have Darvish. I couldn't pass on Darvish for D. Gordon if Darvish.
Yeah,
was
but
on
what
the
I'm
board.
Trying to say to you, Scott, is you when you look at how he's putting the team together, Darvish. I understand you'd rather have Darvish there, but Gordon is a better fit for this team when he knew he was going to still be able to come
that's
back.
That's what I disagree with.
And get a decent pitcher on the wrap. Now
that's what I disagree with. I think Darvish, you know, can be like a, you know, elite pitcher here. And to still have him hanging around in the fourth round, I couldn't pass on it.
Where would he have got the speed at in the fifth?
I think you could have got to, you built your team a different way. You know, it might have changed the way he drafted. But, you know, I'm not going to take a speed guy personally over a guy like Darvish. When I was saying the thing about Gordon Hamilton, I was playing devil's advocate.
I like devil's advocate. But you should be more religious, Scott. Why do you want to preach
the If he's the devil, why does he really need an advocate?
That's true, right? Mike Florio in round four. What's the pick that you don't like?
Not to harp on what you guys just said, but it was the picks of Hamilton and D. Gordon, especially Jake's pick of D. Gordon, because Frank and I were actually on air, Fantasy First Look, and we were paying attention to this draft, and we were saying, we were like, he could get Yu Darvish here, and, you know, that'll really solidify his pitching to go with the three great hitters that he had. And then he took D. Gordon, and I don't know. I feel like I would have rather taken Yu Darvish, and there's a chance that D. Gordon falls in the next round if he really wanted him.
Yeah, I now... Scott Engel. That part, what Florio says, I get. D. Gordon could have been there on the wrap in five, especially with Drake drafting at three. So, but other than that, I really don't have a problem with the Gordon pick right there.
Scott Engel, I'm a little concerned about Frank Stanfill, one of the young guys that we have at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We cut a commercial with him calling somebody an idiot. Now, I've told him time and time again, when we get to commercial breaks, Frank, don't ever do that because you'll get fired. On stuff that I've said on the radio. I'm having a problem that he's trying to follow my footsteps here, and he might not make it.
Yeah, I haven't heard the commercial, but you know, who does he call an idiot?
He says basically, if you play, I agree with him, but I don't know if he needs to go so strong about it. He says that if you draft Buster Posey and you play him at first base, or Gary Sanchez and you play him at first base that's instead ridiculous. Of catcher, there's no other way to sugarcoat it. You're an idiot.
He's when, right.
I will say, though, when Tony's taking issue about, you know, somebody's decorum, I think it's bad. So maybe you got a point there.
I don't want to see young guys. I'm saying young guys, you gotta earn your way before you can go that realm. There, a fantasy executive. Like I said, I agree with his stake, but it was a little too strong.
Basically, what you're saying, Tony, is you know, like establish yourself before you rip into people like I do.
Do you want me to play it?
Yes. Let's hear it and see the King's opinion.
Friends and frenemies unite. It's the fantasy best friends forever.
Wilson Contreras is outfield eligible. I'm just exiting that out right now.
Yeah, don't even do that. If you play a catcher at any position but catcher for fantasy purposes, you're dumb. I'm sorry. Like, there's no way around it. Like, do not play Buster Posey at first base. Do not play Jonathan Lucroy at first base.
Fantasy best friends forever. Weekdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
He called people, he called them dumb. He called him dumb. Is dumb better than idiot? It might be better,
it's
right?
The same. We know same where he's thing. Going with it. I think he's smelling himself a little bit, but he does but he does sound good. You know what I'm saying? This sounds good, sounds passionate. So that would actually make me listen to the BFFs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Unless you drafted Jose Contreras.
Oh, yeah. Then it. Unless you have LaCroix penciled into your first baseman. Then you're like, what the hell is this?
Sitting there, set my line up, and penciled in first. You're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Getting called an idiot by Frank Stanton.
Oh, wow. What else did I do wrong? Yeah. Maybe I should listen to that show.
That's the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. You can hear it right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Mike Florio, Greg Sussman. And you know what's crazy? This Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Do you think they actually like Sussman?
They're all wrestling fans, so yeah, they all get along
nicely. I
think they
do. I've seen them hanging out each other down in the producer room.
Yeah, I just want to make sure there's no lying about the shows here. I just want to make sure everything's up and up here. You're listening to the Roto Experts in the morning. We come back with the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Who knows what the hell will happen? It's the Roto Experts in the morning.